Welcome to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. This podcast series offers a fun and serious look at hypnosis and offers various ideas, discuss case studies, along with NGH educational opportunities.
Hello, everyone. It's Eric Damon with the National Guild of Hypnotists. Welcome to the new edition of the Hypnosis NGH podcast. We have a very special guest with us today, so please welcome National Guild member, founder of Win with Hypnosis from Burlington, Wisconsin, a leading peak performance mindset coach in the Chicago tri-state area, also an author, international hypnosis speaker, and trainer at Attitude of a Champion Academy. Please welcome Karen Bird.
Now, I have to ask you first, even though this is, you know, it can be part of our podcast or not, but this is the first time I've ever seen Karen spelled the way it is, the way you spell your name.
Yeah. Okay. So that's very interesting. It was supposed to be Karen. The story is it was supposed to be Karen when I was born. My mom liked Karen. My dad liked Karen. And so it became Karen. And I never liked the name Karen because, as we know, Karen has a stigma. And so when Karen started getting the stigma, my three boys were like, "You're such a Karen." And that made me even dislike the name more because I never liked it. And when I went to college, I wanted to change it to Karen, but I was like, "Oh, I'm afraid to." Well, now I'm writing a book, and it's about my journey with my son dying and the divorce and how we actually developed a relationship. So now I get messages from him, and the book is kind of channeled with him. And I got a message from him to use Karen as my author name. And now I'm in the process of changing Karen to Karen, and it has been quite a feat.
So am I saying it wrong? Karen?
Karen would be great, because I'm working on accepting and me being Karen, so that's great.
Now I have to write it differently so I say it correct.
Right, like C-A-R and then I-N.
That's great.
But that's the story. So yes, Karen, I never liked Karen, and now I'm changing to Karen.
All right. Yeah. And you don't care what anyone thinks now. It's
either or. I can go by both. Right. Yeah.
So yeah. What would you share with everyone how you got into hypnosis? What brought you into the world of hypnosis? And
Sure. Well, I have a degree in psychology. So my background is in psychology. Ever since I was in maybe fourth grade, I wanted to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist. It was my dream. And I graduated my degree in psychology, went to get my MSW, my master's in social work, because I wasn't sure I wanted to get a PhD. And at the time, it was either a PhD or with a college education in psychology, you could basically work in a group home. I went to get my MSW, and then I worked in marketing for a while, actually. And then I decided to be an at-home mom, and I did that for many years. Well, we were ready to birth the third child, and I heard on the radio about hypnobirthing. I had no idea what it was. I learned in my psychology courses and my MSW, like, there is a paragraph on hypnosis in our books and in our education. Right. And so where did I have to take the class? The class was like 4 hours away. It was only in person. And we took the hypnobirthing class, my husband and I. And the birth was amazing. And when the birth was amazing, I was the talk of the hospital. And the OB said to me, "If you ever want to teach this course, I will endorse you in my practice," because that was amazing. And the whole hospital is talking about it. And at the time, I was an at-home mom, and I thought, why not? You know, it can be extra income, gives me something to do, gives me like a purpose, and my kids are going back. Well, no, the baby was a baby, I guess, but why not? And so I had to go to Connecticut from Wisconsin to take the hypnobirthing class, because that was the only place that would certify you as a practitioner. So I flew to Connecticut, I took the hypnobirthing course, and then I came back and taught hypnobirthing as a practitioner for about a year and a half. And then my mom, who actually had taken the course with me, she's a lifelong student of everything. She said, you know what? We should take the hypnosis course. Why don't we become certified in hypnosis? I thought, okay, why not? I realized the power of the mind and how great it was for hypnobirthing. I mean, I had taught dozens of women by now and really loved what I saw happened with hypnobirthing. So I became certified in hypnosis. And I went up to, it was probably like 2 hours away. I don't know if you remember Charlene Akerman. She was National Guild. Yeah, she was very well known. Became certified from her. And then I started seeing mostly group sessions, because as we all know, when we first get started, we're like not sure what we're doing. And so I did group weight loss, group smoking, tried to get my feet wet. And then my boys, I had two boys, and my husband was a collegiate wrestler. He said, why don't you work with athletes? And I was like, I don't know. And he said, you know, when I was in college, I worked with a sports hypnotist. And I can't tell you a lot of the details, but I remember he gave me a cassette tape. And that cassette tape was really, really great. And I know it improved the way I wrestled a lot. So you should do sports hypnosis. And I said, okay, whatever. So he helped me write some scripts, and I started researching, and I started working with athletes. Some that he was coaching, some that we knew because he was coaching a high school of the team. And my forte became working with athletes, which obviously now I teach my Attitude of a Champion course. My niche is working with athletes, because that's kind of where I started.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing how it all, you know, it's funny because a lot of folks that have gotten into hypnosis seem to have gotten the bug or the interest in maybe passively, in the sense of exactly like you're saying, it just kind of fell in their lap and they went with it. And it's amazing to hear the stories of how people have grown their business and grown the way they do hypnosis and go right into it like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? Like, I believe that nothing happens by accident. And hypnosis, like I say in my presentations, it is an amazing tool that we get to share with the whole world, because the power of our mind is so crazy incredible that if we're not out there sharing it, then we're not doing what, you know, what fell into our lap, what our calling is, because it is so powerful for people.
That's true. Yeah. Now, on a side question, you said your mom took the class with you. Did she actually do any more than that? Or did she just, as you said?
Yeah, not as a business, but she lives in the Villages in Florida, and she shares it with her friends. So she'll say, let me do hypnosis great. On you. We could do hypnosis for pain control. And so she does it gratis and just for fun.
Now, speaking of that, with hypnosis, you do pain control, weight loss, smoking, and academic performance, but you specialize in the sports hypnosis. Is that accurate?
I do. Yep. And my business has gotten to a level where it's all organic. I don't do any marketing, because when you're good at what you do, others tell others about you. And what I know is when we work with athletes don't come to us as hypnotists because they know about hypnosis, because they want hypnotherapy, because they're woo-woo, any of that. They come to us because they want to be better at their sports. And hypnosis is just this little piece that they're like, okay, fine, I'll get hypnotized in order to be better or more confident, right? And so with seeing athletes, then people find out about hypnosis and they say, oh, do you work with weight loss, smoking, fears, anxiety? And that's how then your business organically grows. You're not really marketing hypnosis. So,
right. Yeah. And so would you say that the majority of your business is sports related?
50 to 60%, depending. I don't know about you, but I find that it goes in waves. I'll see a bunch of weight loss clients, and then there's a bunch of smokers, and my athletes are always consistent. I'm always getting referrals for athletes, so that's kind of the big, like, bulk 50-60%, sometimes more. And then there's all those others that are finding me through the athletes.
Now, you said your family was into wrestling, and that's kind of how you moved into doing hypnosis with wrestling. But do you also do for other sports as well? I mean, either it be football, yes, baseball, lacrosse, swimming.
Yes. And the program that I developed is a 4-session program that works for any athlete. It's basically a structured program where it's this session, this session, this session. It doesn't matter what sport they're in. It's, like I tell everyone, they know their sport. We just help them manage their mind. And so right now I'm seeing a professional boxer in Las Vegas. I am seeing a polo, water polo player in California, and it doesn't matter the sport. So yes, there's lots of sports, and any of them. I saw a bagel player at one time, and
What player?
he was a professional. Cornhole, bagel,
Oh.
cornhole. Yeah, I was like, I had no idea that was a professional sport, but we did it. Same thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I should change jobs. I'm pretty good at
Right?
cornhole,
There you go.
I won't go for that, but anyways. Now, so you talk to athletes all over the world and doing hypnosis with them.
Yeah. Yep. Because virtually now we can, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's really great. And I can, I live in Wisconsin, but here I'm in Florida for 3 weeks and still seeing clients and still working virtually because I see all my clients virtually anyway.
Now let's talk a little bit about the wrestling aspect in particular.
Okay.
If you can share with us your story with about your son, and I'm also, my son was into wrestling as well, and I know exactly where hypnosis would be helpful, and could have been helpful when he was in high school and things like that doing it, because I think there's a lot of folks that listen to our podcast as well as hypnotists who want to work with athletes and help them with issues or improve their performance. And wrestling seems to me, I mean, I know it very well, and it seems to be a sport. It's a team sport, but it isn't. So that's why there's a lot of pressure on that individual. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We had, when we were growing up, my three boys were elite wrestlers, and we had a 4-car garage, and two of those car courts were made into a wrestling room with a wrestling mat and posters on the wall. And one of the posters said is, once you wrestle, everything else is easy. And I have to say, it is a massive mental game. And what I know is that all individual sports are massively mental game. Golf is a mental game. Track can be a mental game. Swimming is a mental game. Wrestling is a mental game times 10 because it's physical. It's extremely, extremely physical. As we know, it's aggressive, it's physical, it's hard, and it's very mental because not only do you have to be ready for your peak performance and ready mentally tough, but the whole weight cutting and staying on weight adds another dimension to the mental toughness.
Absolutely. That's crazy that, because that's another, you're right. That's another added thing, not just performing well, but you have to get there. You have to be in the right.
Yeah, and there are other sports also that have to watch their weight, like MMA, and so they have that also. And so yeah, it's definitely a mental sport. And what we find is, we all know this, it's 90% mindset, 10% physical. And like I tell the athletes that I work with is, how long have you been doing this? I'll ask, and they'll say, oh, since I was in kindergarten, or oh, 10 years. Okay, so let's add how many hours up that you have practiced and drilled, thousands, right? Okay, so you know all the skills, all the drills, everything that has anyone knows that has wrestled as long as you, that is the same age, the same weight, the same class. What is it that they have, that you don't think you can beat them? And they all know what it is. It's confidence, right? So let's help you get your confidence. And we all know how to do that as hypnotists, right? Visualizations, affirmations, positive statements, everything we teach. And it makes a huge, huge difference in the way they perform because it seems simple to us, but it's a concept that they don't know.
No, you're absolutely right. You think about any sport, there's there's a lot that's going through people's minds. Obviously, it's with anything in everyday life, but talking specifically about sports, either you're a baseball player, you're at the plate, you're a catcher, you have a job within that team. Same mm-hmm. with wrestling, even though you're the individual one-on-one out there, it's the team that benefits or doesn't benefit from your performance. And that's a lot of pressure that these guys get.
It is. They put pressure on themselves and they have the team pressure. And, you know, I've seen duels where it comes down to one person. If they win or lose the match, that makes the difference for the entire team. And that is massive pressure. And we all know that with athletes, the more pressure they have on themselves, the less they perform. And so how do we get the pressure off of them and the remember the joy of the sport? Because then that pressure builds to the point where they're not even enjoying their sport anymore. And that happens in all sports. I see that especially in high school age.
And would you say most of your clients that you deal with are high school, or is it everywhere? College, professional?
Interesting. So I see a lot of youth and high school. In fact, just an hour ago, I was working with a youth gymnast that made it to state, and she's in Minnesota. And so there's a lot of youth, a lot of high school. I do see collegiate, but you know what I find with collegiate is, although they want the mental training, in the youth and the high school, the parents will pay for it because they're paying for their clubs and they're used to buying them and paying for things and want their confidence. In college, the collegiate students want it, but they can't afford it. And, you know, they're broke college students. We all were. So then they have to talk the parents into paying for, you know, mindset training. And the parents are thinking, why isn't your team doing it or coach doing it? So when it comes to marketing as a hypnotist, I would say the youth and high school are more marketable. And then you will see the college ones that age up or the college ones of the siblings. That's what I find. And then from there, you know, the professional ones find me on Google or they get referred. So then there are the professional athletes also. And I use the same exact program with them and they see the same exact results. So,
well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, but you go beyond just dealing, well, in talking sports, you go beyond that in the sense that you also work with coaches. Yes.
Yes, I do work with coaches, and I'll tell you, coaches probably need mindset training more than the athletes, because I don't know if you've ever noticed, like if you watch a wrestling tournament, in fact, I've had to say to a few coaches, like, be careful what you're saying. They'll say to their athlete, don't miss the basket, don't wrestle with your head down, don't get nervous, right? And we all know that we're not hearing the don't, wouldn't, shouldn't. So when we say don't wrestle with your head down, they're hearing wrestle with your head down. Or I hear coaches often saying, you're in your head too much. You're in your head too much. Well, what is the athlete saying? I'm in my head too much. So they come to me because they say, my coach says I'm in my head too much. Okay, now we get to dispel that myth. That's a limiting belief, right? And so it is very helpful. And I do speak to coaches like Wisconsin Athletic Associations or any athletic associations and the coaches about how do you speak to your teams and how do you teach them visualization and mental toughness.
And that's been successful with coaches and working with them to help improve their team as well. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And then the coaches will refer the athletes also because the coaches see the power mindset. They're like, oh yeah, this athlete could really use it. Oh yeah, I could see how this athlete can really use hypnosis. So a lot of times, you know, I'll reach out to the coaches and just do a 45 minute, hey, let's talk about mindset training. And then they're the ones that are the great referrers.
And that is your program that you do, performance mindset? Or is that with presentations that you do?
Well, yes. So in the Attitude of a Champion program that I teach, where you get certified to be a performance mindset expert through the program, the marketing aspect, I teach how to go out and speak to teams and coaches and, you know, golf clubs and how to get athletes by doing, we call them peak performance team talks.
Mm-hmm. That's a mouthful right there.
Right? If you could say that, you could do the program.
Now, you've been successful with all around in different sports, so you know that's why you keep seeing more and more folks come to you. That's great.
Right. Yes. You know, like I said, I'm in Florida for a couple of weeks working virtually, and I literally can go to the local high school and talk to the athletic director there and ask if I can speak to a team. And I've already got a couple of clients, you know, just doing that. And then of course there's the golf clubs. And so, yeah, I mean, it's really like athletes are everywhere. And right. That's the thing is, you know, athletes are everywhere. I was on the airplane, it was about a year ago. I sat next to a gentleman and he asked me what I did or where I was going. And I said I was going to a conference and I was a sports hypnotist and I worked with athletes on confidence and peak performance. And he said, oh my gosh, I have been looking for someone like you for my son for literally like ages. Can I have your business card? And it's that simple. I mean, they're everywhere. They're on the airplane next to us looking for, especially parents, because they want their kids to have confidence. They want their kids to believe in themselves. They want their children to not get nervous when they play. And so parents are looking for us.
Well, absolutely. I think that's the whole idea, especially when you're talking to high school students. I know for me that my son, he was into baseball, football, wrestling, the whole thing. And the parents get nervous for your child in the sense of when they're out there. And you try to figure anything you can do to relax them to go as far as they want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's what we know. I was a parent of three teenage boys and moms and dads know nothing.
Yes.
Literally, like I could tell my boys the same thing that I tell my clients and they'd be like, you don't know what you're talking about. They don't want to listen. Right. And because I said it, it made no sense.
Right. Well, exactly. Because mom and dad are mom and dad, you know,
yeah.
They don't know anything, yes. Like you said. So
we all went through it.
So when you talk to athletes or anyone about sports hypnosis or even weight loss, what do you say initially that makes them believe that they'll benefit from hypnosis? You know, you always have somebody who's first time thinking about hypnosis, either it be for sports or it be for, like I said, weight loss or smoking. And there's always a hesitation there initially. So what do you say that convinces them that it's a good idea to give it a try?
Okay, let me put on my discovery call hat. All right. Well, first I ask, obviously, are you familiar with hypnosis? Do you want me to explain hypnosis to you? Do you have any questions about hypnosis? Sometimes they'll say, no, I've seen YouTube videos. I know what it is. I've talked to other people. Sometimes they're like, yeah, tell me a little bit more. I talk about if we could take inner mean guy or inner mean girl and put him or her on the chair next to us and just say, shut up for a little while. I want to work with my higher self, my subconscious. That's where the power of hypnosis comes from, because we can take this conscious mind, right? We can relax it and then we can rewire, rework, reprogram what it is that you really want. Hypnosis is not going to do anything for you until I can understand what it is that your goals are. And if I were to tell you to do something like rob a bank under hypnosis, you'll open your eyes and say, I'm not doing that. It doesn't work for me. And you come consciously aware right away. But if it's in line with what you want, you'll stay in a very relaxed state and I will be able to work with you on your goals and your desires that you want. Now, you're not going, and then I'll have the question, right? Like, can anyone get hypnotized? I'm not sure I can get hypnotized. And I always say, you know, anyone can get hypnotized. I can fall asleep. It's really a matter of you being comfortable and safe in the environment you're in. So if you trust me and you're comfortable with me and you feel safe, you will allow yourself to get relaxed. If you don't feel safe with me, you're not going to allow yourself to get into that state. And so my job as the hypnotist is to help you get into a state where you trust me and you're confident. Now, the first couple of times, you're gonna pop in and out. It's totally normal. You're gonna think, where am I? Does she know what she's talking about? Am I hypnotized? Completely normal. As you get more comfortable with me, you'll allow yourself to get into a deeper state where we can do the deeper work. So you kind of explain it like that, right? Like, and then a little bit of the pre-talk. And then I'll ask them, what is it that you wanna work on and how can I support you? And they'll tell me, you know, I want to work on weight loss, or I've been trying to lose weight forever. I want to stop smoking, or I'm flying soon and I have to get on an airplane. And so I'll say, well, okay, in our first session, we'll discuss what it is that you want. What are your top three be, feel, and haves? And then we'll figure out what's working for you and what's not working for you in your life. What you know, what's holding you back and who it is that you want to be. We'll create a picture of who that is, a strong visualization. And then by the time we're done working together, that will be the visualization. That'll be who you believe you are. And we'll work on the new version of you. So our goal when we're finished is to that you are the version of you that you want to be. And sometimes there's questions of that. And that's basically my discovery call script.
That's a good way to do it. I mean, because obviously, you know, just coming into seeing a hypnotist for the first time, actually, you would say it could be for anything, going to a new doctor or anything like that. There's always some, whatever, leery feelings or unknown feelings because you just don't know. And the whole idea is to put them at ease and accept, you know, be able to accept the process that's happening.
Right. Yeah. And you know what I love about being a hypnotist is that everyone that comes to see you, they come to see because they want change. They want to get better. And we are working with a really amazing clientele, you could call it, that is willing to do the work because they want the change. And it just makes our job so much easier. Yeah.
You're busy seeing clients all the time, and you're also speaking around the world, either it be through Zoom or in person, yes?
Yep, doing that and also writing a book. And so, yeah, juggling all kinds of balls, but that's what makes life exciting.
What's the little hint on the book that you can give us?
Oh, the book. All right. So my son passed away in a motorcycle accident 3 years ago. And at the time after he died, I remember thinking, where did he go? And I know he's not gone. And there's no way that I'm never going to have any communication or anything with him for the rest of my life. Like, this doesn't resonate with me. And yes, he probably went to heaven, but like, how do you reach people in heaven? You know, I was a Christian. And so I started seeking and my eyes opened to curiosity. And I started opening up to the soul world and the spirit world. And many people in our profession who, you know, there's a lot of people in our profession that are very spiritual, reached out to me and would offer some sessions for me, which is amazing, you know, angel sessions and soul fragment sessions. And at the time I was like, no, no, that stuff's woo-woo. I'm all business. I'm all about athletes. I'm all business. And, but there was that part of me that really wanted to connect with my son. And it was, I was in that space of like, if you can help me connect with my son that died, I am open to it. And as I started developing and I started learning more about it, I opened up spiritually. I met a man that was a medium and he did some sessions for me and he introduced me to some angel channeling and I opened to that. And I started to be open more to the signs that Josh would give me. And so the whole book is about how I started a relationship with him. First, it was signs, and I figured out what his sign was, and he would send me certain signs at certain times. Songs would play at the most coincidental time that I knew, like, was a song from his celebration of life. And then I started learning about, you know, past life we had together and started communicating with him. So now I get messages with him, and the book is called The Unimaginable Gift of Losing a Child, because in the beginning, I wrote a foreword and it was through him. It was channeled from him and it was his words. And it is very much, you know, just saying, hey, you can communicate with me just like you text, just like we used to text. You didn't see me, but you knew I was there. And so now I have this relationship, this communication with him. And it's my journey on how we developed that and how our relationship developed. It ends in Egypt, where he told me to put his ashes in the Nile, the River Nile. And so I'm almost done. I'm on the second draft. And it's one of my big purposes. I know it's God's purpose for my life. And so not only am I, you know, working with athletes and working with hypnotists that want to become sports hypnotists, and then there's also the book. So lots of pieces. Amazing. Yeah.
That must be difficult to write, but I'm sure that people will enjoy the fact that somebody is sharing that information with them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I remember going through it thinking, how do people live through this? Like, this is horrible. How does anyone live through it? And I know that God's mission for my life is to help others move through it and heal, because many people go through it. As difficult and horrible as it is, I'm not the only person that's lost a child. And so, yeah, I definitely know it's God's plan for my life. And in between, I love coaching. I love business mentoring. I love teaching others to have successful hypnosis businesses. So that's all beautiful too. But I just know that God is telling me that I get to also help parents heal that have lost children.
Well, I think it'll be a valuable tool for people. And it takes a lot to write, like, you know, to be able to write that down. So I give you a lot of credit.
Yeah, it's been a journey. It's been 2 years of reliving a lot, I have to say. You know, every time even when I'm editing, I'll reread the first chapter and I get a little teary sometimes.
I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, now we're gonna step away from hypnosis for a second.
Okay.
You live in Wisconsin.
I do.
What is Wisconsin famous for, first of all? Cheese, right?
Cheese and beer.
Beer too.
I think so. There's a famous beer called Spotted Cow. I don't know if you know about it, but my son who lives in North Carolina, I was driving down to see him and he said, please bring me some Spotted Cow. It's the best beer in the world. And you can only get it in Wisconsin. So, but I'll tell you, cheese. I love cheese. Cheese is a Wisconsin specialty.
Well, you should love it. I mean, you grew up in Wisconsin, right? And you're still there. So, I mean... Yep. What do you do other than hypnosis in Wisconsin besides eating cheese?
Oh, gosh. Well, I live on a lake, so I love to sit on the pier. A lot of my writing has been done on the pier. I do have a pontoon boat, so I like to have my friends out on the pontoon boat. What do I do? Sometimes I ski. I will ski or snowshoe in the winter because it's so cold, and I have a dog that needs to get out all the time. I have a lot of really good friends, and I've said this before, my family lives pretty far away from me, but I had a really great support group when Josh died and I was going through a divorce at the same time. And I have to say, having a support group, I have a lot of really good friends there that have held me up many times, and I enjoy spending time with them.
No, so that's what's great about, a place that you call home. It doesn't matter if that's where you're originally from or not, but you know, and I always ask when I do these interviews on our podcast, I always ask about what they do other than hypnosis, because I want everyone to know that hypnotists, you know, are real people as well.
We are, right? We are real people for sure. Yes.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our podcast audience?
You know, I tell my athletes this, I tell all of my clients this, that there is no one that is better than you. There is no one that knows more than you. And it's really about figuring out, and this is the value, I believe, of hypnosis for anyone, is figuring out what's holding you back, figuring out what's keeping you small, figure out why it is that you aren't the best version of you, or what's stopping you from being that best version. And then step through the fear and do it anyway. You know, just like I tell my athletes, my clients, oh, what the heck? Go for it anyway. Just go for it. Because we all have that potential to be really, really amazing human beings. So, yeah.
And I appreciate the fact that you took the time to talk with me on our Hypnosis NGH podcast.
Of course, I'm honored that you asked me. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. You're welcome to share your ideas for future podcasts by emailing us, nghpodcast@ngh.net.